You have to take a little sippy poos. Just little wee sippy poos. You have to drink with the grated liquor. And then after a while, you can take bigger drinks. And then after a while after that, you can take big drinks. I think I'll do a wraparound.
So the winner of this March Madness bracket is going to get some Red October tubes, painted customs.
Customs.
Also got lined up some Huntsie Tails. One of them's going to be a Mott Moon Man color. The other one directly from the box. And, of course, the only way to, you know, sell any Mott Moon Man colors is to give them away for free.
Damn.
That's crazy. Didn't see that one coming.
I knew y'all didn't see that one coming. That's why I saved that one. And
that's crazy.
And a Net Buddy, Musky Buddy bracket system. Like, you know, Whoa. The one that you put on your boat. Yeah.
Damn.
Big time.
The hell? I got to win this damn thing.
Yeah, you literally win.
I got a boat, but...
Like, if you already got a net, whether it's a Net Buddy or not, you can literally put the attachment on your net, boom, bracket on your boat, boom, slide it in, boom, you get that. So, y'all better get your brackets ready, you know, watching your NCAA.
Are we live to tape?
What's up? We're live to tape, dog.
Well, I think what's the contest? I mean, you just started firing off the prizes, but I don't think you ever even said what the contest is.
It's a mystery.
I think I said March Madness right away.
Yeah. Bracket Challenge, Mott Bracket Challenge 2026.
Brian, Mott how Bracket do we get signed Challenge. Up?
It's going to be on the ESPN app again, ESPN Tourney Challenge. We'll get all the details posted on the Instagram story.
Facebook.
Probably, yeah, Facebook.
And Facebook.
Facebook and probably even post an actual Instagram post just so none of y'all miss it and explain the prizes again on the post because those are too good to miss out on.
What is the pay like?
So it's not going to be
giving up those prizes.
Not going to be free entry this year. $20 to my Venmo and then you'll get your spot.
$20 bucks my ass.
I'm just kidding. Free entry. And what was your other question?
Well, these are all great prizes. How are we going to divvy up first, second, and third?
Well,
we're doing first, second, third this year thing?
No, I think you could do a first and second. Second, maybe just get some Mott Moon Man.
Damn.
As a little pat on the back.
Thanks for coming out. Thanks for playing. You know, you picked a good bracket, but it just wasn't there.
The winner gets 3 custom October tubes, a Huntsie Tail, and
2 Huntsie Tails. Dude, I'm not even done yet. This is just as of now.
I think with all these prizes, we gotta go 1 through 3, top 3.
Maybe, 3? Yeah. Third might get a bag of marbles, but we'll try to divvy it up.
All right. Well, between this pod and the next one, I think we're gonna nail down who gets what. But either way, we're looking forward to another Mott Bracket Challenge.
Sunday
coming
is
up for this
Sunday,
March.
So
yeah.
I think Instagram post could be Sunday night for sure. On Monday, we'll be getting them out there, and you got to sign up pretty ASAP. I don't know. I forget how the first 4 works, which I believe would then be on Thursday of next week. I don't know if you need the bracket in by Thursday or by Friday, but
you got the play-ins. Can't you make a bracket before those play-ins?
Yeah, you don't.
You can make them after.
Yeah,
or
I don't think you
two,
need
I
the
mean?
Plans. Yeah, you can wait. So I think it'll be by next Thursday night or Friday morning. You need the brackets in.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's going to be a universal cutoff, and we'll have a ton of posts to remind everybody of that. But either way, yeah, that was kind of like a little cold entry there. But welcome to episode number 144, the Muskies on Tap podcast. One of your 3 hosts on here tonight, Gus Manti. But we just chatted about one thing we wanted to get going here to spread the word. But we got my brother Max on here. Max, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Gus. I was cooking up a little something last weekend. So
yeah, you were.
Yeah, shout out to Thorn Bros, our presiding sponsor here on this evening's podcast. But I cooked up a little order. So we are changing the guard on the rods this year, and did just go and pick up a 9'4" medium heavy Thorn Bros stealth rod. Shout out Becker. And
Shout out,
a
Becker.
10-foot extra heavy stealth. And I think
Yeesh.
I might even be eyeing up a 10-foot extra heavy predator. Stay tuned. We will see.
Stay tuned.
But
Who do you want
yeah,
to shout out for that other custom build?
Tucker and Doug probably
Doug,
got me
shout out
right.
Tucker and
Yeah.
Doug.
Yeah, for those that haven't gone to the Thorn Bros shop and done the custom rod thing, it's actually pretty sweet. Really dialed, super easy to do. Got to
Probably
like
addicting.
very addicting. Yeah, you can get carried away in there. But they got, a lot of the rods with the different, foregrips, the butt ends, the lengths, the different reel seats
Flares.
that you can choose from. So you can kind of test out what you want and then, build to your liking. You get a nice little potential cussy name to your rod. You get to make the colors what you want them. It's a cool deal. So I'm super fired up to run those this year. Yeah,
People
man,
want to
I'm
know what colors, what custom names you got on there.
I just did Mott black on black, and then I got a black on black on the extra
Good
heavy
thing you got a
stealth
custom.
10-foot, and then I got like a black forest green on the 9'4" medium heavy.
Nice.
So yeah, man, I'm fired up. Can't wait. Memorial Day weekend, here we come.
Know. I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about adding a new rod to the arsenal. Especially a cussie too. I mean, good God.
If you did a custom Thorn Bros rod, Brian, what would you get for your engraving on it?
Engraving? I
Yeah, I
don't know.
mean,
That would take some thought.
for real?
I'd have to think of like what good nickname to
Like
put on there.
Brian?
Sharp.
Sharp.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to think. But it wouldn't be black on black. It wouldn't be something you
Not
can get
really
off
the
the
first word that comes to mind, though.
Wouldn't be something you can get off the rack. So we'll see. I'll have to think about that. But yeah, anyways, I think I mentioned to you guys that maybe be interested in like a short stick, like a little flimsy guy, like a heavy 8.6. Would that be fast action? Something for diving rise, glide bait, maybe a light jerk bait. Because I just got a telephone pole right now, pretty much. But we'll see. Might be hitting up Thorn Bros soon. Other than that, nothing new on my end. Same old shenanigans, golf simulatoring it up per usual.
Almost losing to Big Beast a few times, I heard.
No. I like to let the kids play in the winter, and then when the men take the field in the summer, it's gonna get ugly.
Bloodbath out there.
That's crazy. But shout out Jack.
Just leave all men behind. Not going back.
Yeah, or stepping on their neck. But
What was the deal with the
God.
slots payout this weekend?
Dude, I don't know. So Jack had booked the simulator, and it was in like what they call a VIP room, which is like its own little room. It's
Fancy.
not included in the main part of the building. And they got a couch in there, a TV with a game on. They got a little bar, obviously the simulator, and then in the corner they sneak in a little slot machine just for you. So what am I gonna do? Not get our money's worth. So I just put in $40, start tapping away while everybody else is hitting golf shots, and ended up hitting a mini game, winning $140. And I'm jumping for joy. I hit the ticket button to collect because I'm not a degenerate. I take my money when I win,
Right, sure.
and I brought it up to, I thought I printed at the bar, and they're like, "Oh, we don't have a ticket. Make sure to go hit the button." Well, I go back there, the thing already says $0. And so
Oh no.
basically, oh no, I'm getting screwed out of my winnings. Long story short, I kept forcing their hand enough. They said the next on Monday they would contact the machines, whatever salesperson, whoever that is. And then I got a call back from them yesterday that my money is ready behind the bar. So thank God I got some winnings from that slot.
Hey,
But
what a
yeah.
redemption. I normally when that happens, that's like you're screwed.
Well, in my head, like I was thinking, like I'm down essentially 140. Who knows if I'll ever get that money? So I'm gonna have to chase, right? Put more money in, see if we can hit another one. So, I'm just kidding. I
Ever
didn't put
walked by
more
a
in.
slot machine you didn't like the look of?
This was spooky cash though.
Oh, spooky cash. Yeah, that's a
Yeah,
good one.
that's your
So,
fave. That's your favorite, ain't
yeah,
it?
good
Yeah.
payouts
Often. So,
Gus, what about
anyways,
you?
yeah. What's that, me? Yeah, what
What
about
about you?
you?
Just finished the show season for Hooked and Tagged. Back to back weekends, we did the Wisconsin Fishing Expo in Madison, then went to the Iowa Deer Classic in Des Moines.
Des
So those are good,
Moines.
successful shows. Sold a ton of hats, ton of hoodies, ton of toddler youth, and other stuff that Hooked and Tagged has to offer. So that was really solid. Also filled in two other things that are new. Filled some time, went to see good pal Nick Amrose, Hammer Customs, shout out. Him, myself, and Clayton went to do some pool testing. Well, his baits are already always pre-tested before he even paints them. Like he doesn't Nick does not paint a bait unless it's been tuned or ran or runs right. So we grabbed some baits and did a little filming and got some demos, some live demos for all of Nick's baits, because I don't think we really had that. About the only thing we've had is, I know Taylor Flannery's maybe done some videos on just the hammer jerk. We've posted plenty of stuff on just the hammer jerk. I've caught a bunch on his trolling stuff, the chain and jackhammer. The Phil glide bait, haven't personally used as much as most other people have. And of course he's got the new sledgehammer, which is like the flat sided 8.5, 9-ish
Oh, can't wait.
inch, 8.5 inch, basically like a Jake Grandma style jerk crankbait. It's gonna be absolutely money. So that'll be probably going up on his Facebook page. Oh, another big thing. I'm surprised you guys haven't brought it up. What I've really been up to is new YouTube video drop.
Oh,
Just a random
God.
Quiet release, as
Yeah,
Max
how did
called it,
that?
where I
Just
just been
slipped one out
editing it
there. Sneaky
quiet and
drop.
just sneaky drop, just doing no talking on the podcast to not overhype it, and me just not have it edited in time when I said I would, and then
Smart. It's never
smart,
had
and
a
then no
release in the
date.
making.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I think I yeah, it's an old, old weekend of a couple of years ago, of an old Bender weekend.
Yeah.
More details are on the pod, but yeah, a little 40, a little quick 45-minute video for you guys. So,
I
if you
think
want to watch basically just a musky mash of bunch of catches and a lot of tomfoolery and zero edits on the swearing and some bloopers at the end, then this video is right for you. So far it's been doing really solid on the numbers. Tons of great comments. Really, really appreciate that. But if you're listening here on the pod and you've not seen, or you don't, have socials or whatever, but you watch YouTube, haven't seen it, go check out Muskies on Tap YouTube. One thing I do want to ask of y'all that I'd really, really, really appreciate, also give me some more motivation to post more YouTube videos, is if you just for free go on YouTube, boom, hit subscribe. That's it. That's all you gotta do.
smash that like button.
There you go, Brian. Exactly. Smash the like, comment,
That
share,
the video
notifications.
was a banger. I watched it right away on Saturday, and that there's like a couple parts in it obviously we can laugh at because we know like the talk behind the scenes, and I love the part. I think it was when we were all sitting in the boat recapping it, and Max is like, "You think it's ever make it to YouTube?" And you're like, "Yeah, I don't know. Whenever I get some free time." And it's like 2 years later.
I should have put that.
My favorite part of the video was like the second morning, I think. First, no, first morning, I was like trying to shoot some B-roll. and you go to throw the C4 by Bomb Squad, and just like thinking it's just gonna
Just
be some B-roll, and all of a sudden I just see you start like working it like a freaking rubber band.
get
Like,
snagged.
what's going on here? You gotta follow up.
Followed
Yeah,
up
like the
on
one.
live to tape.
Nice peaceful morning, just nice foul bait.
That
Take two.
was good. Yeah. No, good job, Gus. That was awesome.
It was cool to see it come out 2 years later because I forgot how much filming we did that weekend. Like it just feels like a long time ago. So to now see some of the stuff that I just forgot about, it's hilarious. And
Well, with the night that you guys took 9 hours to get from Appleton to Eagle River for ice fishing weekend, Gus and I were just sitting on the couch, and I don't know, Gus, I don't want to pat myself on the back too hard here, but I'm like, dude, let's get a YouTube video going.
You started the bus. You started the bus, and you started driving it too.
And you were like, well, what do you like? What should we make? And I was like, I don't know, maybe this one weekend where we filmed intros, outros, a bunch of B-roll, all the fish
Yeah,
catches, all the
everything.
release footage, all the, we got all
Yeah,
that in the vault. Maybe we could start there.
dude, that was all right. It was kind of the obvious answer, but one thing that I really enjoyed about editing it, one, I got in the back into the swing of things. The first video we put out was Cave Run from 2023 or four, I don't even
Four, maybe, I don't know.
Four.
no four yeah f I, whatever year that was. And I got to learning a whole bunch of tricks and stuff, and I just freaking forgot them all. Went the whole summer and fall and forgot them all, and then here we are. I had to relearn it all, but it was such a long video, and there's so much different things going on with it, like text boxes and motion tracking and slow-mos and all that stuff put together. I learned a lot quickly, so I definitely want to start editing some more, but there's not a ton of, well, that's what I was asking, if you, for the listeners, if you just want to see some more, go ahead and hit
Oh,
that
yeah.
subscribe button, make it a little more worth it, to get some more videos out. But that was like a huge learning weekend. Like personally, I can see throughout the weekend how we got better, to be honest, because at the beginning of that, like there's so many things I forgot to tell you guys with the ND filter, how to, like, if you actually see it start to not be in focus, how to get it back in focus. So like, bear with us on that. It's not perfect in that sense, but I was really happy with how the audio turned out. I think the way we had the film going on that weekend was really solid. A lot of different camera angles. Like I feel like it should be pretty engaging
It
of a
was
video.
very, I thought it was very well done and engaging. And I was shocked because, like, at the time, I mean, I don't know if half ass is the right word when we were filming it, but like, we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't, like you said, like, there's a couple camera errors or like, like we were just new. Like, it was our first time actually filming everything, trying to get B-roll. So the fact that it looks that quality and it came together that well is pretty cool.
Well, it helped on the Sony that I filmed in 4K, which is totally unnecessary. Fucking. So another thing, in case there's a listener out there that actually, wants to learn a little bit about filming or whatever, huge mistake on my part. I filmed everything in 24 frames per second, which is like cinematic. That's like if you're filming a movie, you want to do that. But this is musky fishing. We want slow-mos. Slowing down 24 frames sucks. It's super choppy. Everything done on the Sony, nothing could be slowed down. So I'm gonna switch that back and go to 1080, because as everybody can see, the GoPro footage in it, the action cameras, that's all 1080. That looks just fine, but that's all filmed in like 60 frames per second, which is what I plan to with the big camera. And then everything can be slowed down. It's gonna be much better. So I think with that weekend, just running cameras for, 4 or 5 years now, maybe more in total, I think we're finally figuring it out, maybe.
I think we'll do some good stuff this year, and I don't know. I mean, it's too, like, we were, just even watching like back a couple years ago, it wasn't like just yesterday that that was filmed. So,
No.
I mean, it was sweet. I was kind of a hoss in 24.
A couple shots in there.
Yo, what?
The
He was a hoss?
hand on the
Get
hip
back to
pose after I steal your fish, you're just in
it.
a world of hurt. I would like, yeah, I mean, I enjoy filming it. It's fun to shoot all that and to talk through each catch. It'd be fun to film opener this year, extended weekend for opener, but then again, like that's right when your guide season's going full bore right after that. So it's obviously tough to get that video out,
Yeah.
but I don't know if you're getting
No.
better at it and it's quicker, then maybe.
I think we'll do some fun
Yeah.
stuff this year.
Oh, we're gonna do some fun stuff. I think it'll still kind of go on the lines of kind of what like Clayton does, where he just backlogs his summer stuff and then he just pumps them out in the winter, like he does on This'll Do. Shout out. He's got some dope Vermillion footage right now. But yeah, we have like a bunch of good solid weekends coming up. Like I got some spring stuff in Iowa that could be totally made into an episode or two. We got our opener. I think after that, probably a good weekend of filming would or week would be freaking Canada.
I'm
Whole
gonna get a 2
series
hour YouTube
there.
video.
I mean, who doesn't fucking love Canada YouTube videos? Those are some of my
Yeah. We need
favorite
to get
watches.
film some more behind the scenes B-roll too of us
I was
having
thinking about that when I was watching that. Like, not that that video needed to be any longer, but I'm like, man, if we could have had a camera going and some of like the pulse fishing cabin stuff would have been great.
Quick
And
Trip
it's runs.
hilarious. It
Yeah.
was that's what I realized. Like, oh, it's crazy. Like, we put in nine catches. You know, one of them, your first fish, Brian, doesn't even have the hit on it because my camera's
Yeah,
all fogged up. Clayton's is
that's a little
fogged up.
sus.
So, yeah, right. And we didn't even put in two of the fish catches, and there's a couple, I think, like a miss or two in there that didn't even put in, and a few of the intro slash outro spots in the video we didn't even have, and it was still 45 minutes long.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. This is probably self-serving a bit, but like I don't mind the long format stuff. I think it's kind of cool, everyone,
I
just
love
to have
them.
like a 45-hour, I mean, it's not gonna get the crazy whatever, but like it's kind of cool just to sit down and watch a full,
I,
on through.
as I probably well know that they might not do well as like the short form videos that are, you know, pretty typical to hitting the algorithm a little bit better. But honestly, like as the editor, I really enjoy making a long form video. I feel like you have more control on how you can create the feel for it. Like
Yeah, it
that
actually
Bender
tells a
weekend
story.
felt. Yeah, that Bender weekend was like a half story of just tons of new waters, like catching fish on, and we caught 11 fish that weekend. We caught them on like four or five new lakes, fished a ton of new spots, you know, maybe even didn't tell that story enough on it.
No,
But
I
it's
think
just
looking
fun.
back, that was something you could have done more of, right? Like more narration,
Yeah.
and that would have been sweet
Narration
too.
is a yeah, that's right. I haven't really done any narration. On like the transitions, it just kind of was clip to clip, couple slow-mos, but like yeah, just getting the feel for things on the style. But I dig the more free-flowing storytelling, you know, just showing the tomfoolery of what we're doing, no censoring, just showing the bull, you know, the BS that
Yeah.
happens to the bull. I guess censor a few things.
I mean, we've always like I gravitate towards longer form videos. Like if I see a short 5 minute, fishing video on YouTube, I'm thinking like it's gonna show one catch, and that's kind of it. I get a lot more jacked up to look at like the longer 30+ minute videos that are actually telling a
Yeah.
story. And like we've always liked with Keys and Beyond the Eight and a bunch of other creators, and they show that behind the scenes stuff and not just the fishing stuff, and it all kind of comes together to tell the story of
Yeah.
the trip. So
I mean, they all have their place though. Like there's something to be said where like the short form videos are really nice, like the quick hitters, especially if you're doing a bunch of them.
yeah.
I totally can see that. I just think like for what we do, it's probably just going to be kind of where our little maybe niches and making videos, just a couple longer videos a year and bigger trips. And
Yeah.
because like Gus isn't going to be running cameras every day guiding, and it's like we'll just try to do a better job at filming our adventures when we can
The
go out.
guiding series that he produces over the winter, every trip.
Yeah, God.
Goodness gracious. No, but speaking of one of you brought up Beyond the Eight, he did drop what we kind of talked about on a pod or two ago,
Oh
that
yeah.
Rod Ramsell
Check
Muskie
that out. It's
Legacy.
awesome. Yeah, I just watched
Yeah,
that. Pretty
that's big
sweet.
time. Big time stuff from our guy over there in Minnesota.
Sure.
Yeah, but anyways, we got our guest on here coming up. We got Jake Smith from Smitty Bates. He's a first time guest on the pod. But he's a great dude. You know, we've ran his baits for years. We've had that classic flap tail, I think it's called, 6.5 inch for many years, that accounted for our love of flap tails and our first couple flap tail fish. So yeah, definitely stay tuned for that coming up here. But I think one thing we didn't mention, I was about to when you brought him up, old Dougie Fresh, but of course
Fresh
the other
Prince.
no, Doug Wagner with the nextgenmuskies.com. If you're looking to up your muskie game during this, you know, before this muskie season coming up here, and you still got a little bit more time before you start getting on the grind, getting out there fishing, or not grind, I should say. I know we just talked about the gripe on that word last week, but
Grinding.
yeah, ne next check out nextgenmuskies.com and use code MOT10, MOT10 to get 10% off there. So
Canada gas money. Support the pod.
Canadian
Canada
gas money.
gas money.
That
Yeah.
would be really helpful as it went up like $1 in 2 weeks.
Damn, what a rain.
God damn
Yeah.
it.
God damn it.
And now
Bad
we're gonna go
time.
on a
Bad time to
full
get a
rant.
truck.
We're gonna go on a full hour rant before the interview.
All
Talk
right,
about
yeah, we
lower
got
oil
some big
prices.
deals though. March Madness bracket, new rods.
Yep.
YouTube video.
YouTube
First
video.
fall spring of the year.
First fall
Smitty Bates.
spring. Smitty Bates.
Smitty Bates.
And shout out Thorn
Wisconsin.
Bros for sponsoring this interview
Yes,
as
sir.
they do every week.
Yes, sir. And Wisconsin Muskie Expo coming up. Our
And
favorite
that.
holiday.
All the goods.
All the goods.
Everything all in one.
All right. Interview coming up in 3, 2. All right, guys. Here we got Jake Smith from Smitty Baits on here. Super pumped to talk with you tonight, Jake. Talk about all the baits you got with the bait company, and you know, of course, talk about muskies. So, pretty pumped here, Jake. How you doing tonight?
Awesome. Thanks for having me on. You guys have been doing an awesome job on the podcast, so it's great to be on with you.
Appreciate
Yeah,
it.
appreciate
Appreciate
it a
that.
lot. I know just before recording here, you know, since it's Muskies on Tap and it hasn't been, we haven't talked about what's on tap beer wise in a very long time. Tell us what you found in your boat. You're sitting in your boat right now.
Yeah, I wanted to do this sitting in my boat, so I had to clean a little bit of junk that had been thrown into it over this winter. And dug into one of the side compartments, and I found two German beers that one of my clients had left in the boat. And this one is a Dunkel, Wurstesteiner Dunkel beer from Germany. So I threw it in a snowbank and chilled it off. And within about, and it wasn't even an hour, I could barely find the thing. We're getting pounded with snow right now, so
Oh,
there's
no way.
3 inches of snow out there already. So it's got really warm here, and now it's back to winter.
That's insane. I just mentioned it was 72 down in like Appleton, Oshkosh yesterday, and then so we were supposed to get potentially like 5 to 10 inches this coming Sunday, but I didn't know you guys were already getting hammered up there.
Yeah, it's back to winter, but it's already it's what's the 10th of March, and it won't be too long. The stuff never lasts. I'm sure we'll get dumped on with another big storm or two, but we're getting there, and the spring is coming, so that's good to be looking into that. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a before we go any further, you know, I've been seeing a little open water popping up here on like streams and whatnot, and a little bit of water flow. I personally have not been on the ice in a while, but I think you mentioned too before recording that it got a little sketchy. You're coming off the ice. Probably proceed with caution if you're gonna even ice
Yeah,
fish
we were
anymore.
ice fishing We were out ice fishing yesterday. I always, it was my birthday, so we always ice fish my birthday if we can, and just about every year we've been able to. But there was 2 years there. 1 year where it was pretty open water, but I think that was one of the warm years we had. And other years it was might have been 20 below sometimes, but there was still 20 inches of ice out there. But the edges. The landing we used was on the north shoreline, and we used ATVs. But getting off was I think it would have been the last day if it would stay like that. But now it's firming back up again, so you might get a few more days getting it off. But it was getting pretty bad. And
Yikes.
actually, we should say pretty good. I'm glad it's going. So,
Yeah. Our line
yeah,
of work. Yeah.
yeah,
Well, happy birthday, by the way. Did
yeah.
you guys beat up
Thank
on
you.
some
Happy
panfish,
belated.
or what'd you do?
Yeah, we found a little bit of everything. It wasn't easy actually, but we found enough to have a fish fry. We got the outdoor fire going and had a old-fashioned shore lunch, and we had a mixture of
Nice.
crappies, bluegills, and perch. And but then at one point we got into some smallmouth, which was really fun. I caught four in a row, just dropping it down. Which we weren't trying to get them, but they were just there, and we're on the edge of a rock shoreline that the smallmouth were up on the rocks, and if you just went off a little bit, the crappies were off in the mud line there. But it was pretty fun. Of course, we threw those back, but it was a good time on the light tackle.
What is this like first big warm up of winter do to the fish? I mean, I've never really fished when it's been like 60 degrees randomly one day. So do they get kind of sporadic and start moving around, or are they
Oh
mostly
yeah,
the
like
same?
we don't see bass like very active all winter long until you get into March, and all of a sudden the bass start moving, and like the perch start moving into the bays now, and crappies will start moving up into the weeds a little bit, kind of just staging their way up. They're getting a think, I guess they're thinking about spawning, although it's a long ways off, but they seem to try to get up into those areas already. And I'm sure it's also the warm water that they can feel, maybe open water near the edge or water running in, or creeks and stuff that are running in. It's probably a little bit warmer.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah. And I did see a big muskie cruising by on the sonar too, and all the perch scattered when he came through. That was cool to see.
Got
Is awesome.
you got a nice little address for this year now. Start out.
Yeah, I got one located already. I don't know if he's going to stay there, but
Yeah.
take an
I'm sure
inventory.
he does. Yeah,
Yeah.
there you go. Well, awesome. Well, Jake, first time on here. You got obviously Smitty Bates, as I mentioned. I don't know if you want to get into the start of that. That was your dad, Russ Smith. We don't have him on here tonight, or if you maybe want to talk about how you got into muskie fishing, which I assume is probably, your dad or family. They probably all coincide, so if you want to start there, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, so I started making baits pretty young. We're always playing around in the shop and with my dad making baits, and he got me started making a small popper chugger, Jake's chugger. It's like a 3-inch little wood bait, a bass popper bait. And I was making them when I was probably 7 or 8 years old, and I was assembling them, and he'd do the painting for me. I probably painted a few of them, but he painted them for me. We'd go to sports shows back then, and I had my own little cork board with my baits hanging up on it, and I'd sell out of them most of the time. I'd go home with a bunch of cash in my pocket, so I was making some cash way back then, and it just carried on, and I liked making the baits, and pretty soon I was helping him a lot with the baits, and I did veer off for a short brief time. I went and got a job at Kurt's Island Sports Shop as soon as I was able to drive, and got a small loan from him to buy his pickup truck off of him. As soon as I got that truck paid for, I was boat shopping and asking for another loan from him. And my first guide boat was a 15-foot smoker craft with a 25 Mariner on it. That was my guide rig, and that's kind of where it all started. I was in high school and guiding in the summers. I was 16, 17 years old, and I remember that September, I don't know if he was double booked or something, but he called me in sick to high school to take some people out. So that was pretty cool. I was skipping school to take some people out, and that's how it all started, and it just kept going from there. And pretty, I had been helping, make lures, and we became partners now with the business, and it's been really great in working with him and guiding with him on groups. It's been a lot of fun, and learned a lot from him, and it's been really good.
Awesome. What did those little bass poppers go for back in the day? How much were you upcharging people on the level of like, hey, I'm 8 years old? You know?
They were $2 a piece or three
That's
for
not bad.
five. Yeah,
Okay.
three for five.
hey, that's a screaming
Wow.
deal.
Yeah, that was a
Yeah.
good deal. And my son is carrying it on now too. He's gonna be six at the end of the month, and I've got him assembling baits, but he's selling them for $5 a piece now. He's jumped the price. The same
Smart
bait.
man. Yeah, smart.
Savvy
So
little
it's pretty
business
cool.
guy. When you started guiding in high school, were you guiding pretty much anything that swims, or when did the musky guiding kick into gear?
Oh yeah, anything. I'm still multi-species guiding.
Yeah.
Month of May, although now the muskie season is going to be open, but I'm still guiding walleye trips mostly through the month of May, and even in summer I take kids out. I'll do half day trips with kids sometimes just for smallmouth and that too. So I am multi-species all season long. The fall I don't do any September, October, and November is strictly musky. I don't take any other trips then, but in the summer I do.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm
Makes sense.
curious, when you were first, like when you were 8 years old, painting some of your baits, you said like your dad would paint most of them. When did you earn the trust from him? And do you still know what those paint jobs that you did do look like? I'm thinking like maybe a little custom drop of your 8-year-old bait paint job.
Oh yeah, I mean they looked like confetti or something, where you're just poking
What
them
we want.
with a dauber, all little dots on them, and maybe a sponge or something. They were pretty rough looking, but I think it probably was. I've been painting baits probably for him for, oh, it must be close to 20 years now that I've been doing all the air, maybe 15 years that I've been doing all the airbrushing. And I guess he let me take over with the limited edition lures that we make, the collector lure. It's a 15-inch jointed bait that is a different color pattern every year, and they've been made for over 40 years. So then that's been a lot of fun, and that's been hard sometimes too, coming up with new patterns every year with that bait. But this year was a whitefish. I'll have to show you one when you come to the show. They turned out pretty good.
Is that the teal kind of colored one?
Oh, there was a teal one last year.
That
That
was
was the
last year. Okay.
Emerald Perch. Yeah, that was the 55th anniversary one. So that was pretty good.
And you'll have some of those at the show?
Yeah, there's only 100 made a year, and there's probably 20 of the whitefish ones left, but I think there's only maybe two or three of those emerald ones left.
Okay.
They're just gone. So they usually sell out. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Goodness. See, we brought up, so there's a lot to unpack there that, when you started off there, but
Yeah.
shows were brought up a few times, and actually kind of before talking about maybe this season, where you've been or what you got coming up, which it might just be the one left, that Wisconsin Muskie Expo, but how are shows when you first started going to them compared to now? More people, less people, like the atmosphere of them, maybe, or just the types of booths, what people are selling. Like, I'm just kind of curious. We've never actually asked or had anybody on where we talk about shows from back in the day and how they've kind of changed.
Yeah, I guess I've been doing tagging along with the shows since the 90s, really. So I've been to a lot of the
Oh,
shows
goodness.
for that period, for all those years. But it's pretty crazy how my parents back then, we just, all right, we're at the show, all right, just free rein, and me and my brother would just run all around the shows. We'd come back, check in every hour or something, but that's a little different than now. There's too many weirdos out there just let your 8-year-old kids just, I mean, Muskie guys are pretty good guys, but I don't know if I'd let my son just, hey, free range the show in Milwaukee or Chicago or wherever. But the times have changed that way. But yeah, I don't know. Every show I've been to this year has been really good and really well attended. So I have nothing to complain about there. And I do remember, I think the seminars back then were more of a, were a lot well attended than they are now. I just remember them things being packed, every seat being taken. And I just don't see the seminars. I think that's probably YouTube and podcasts like your podcast or, and people are maybe they can learn other ways than just sitting in a seminar. There's other things you can do to learn now. So maybe that's part of it. But I think for the most part, people still like coming and seeing, talking to the manufacturers that are making baits or the guides that are working the booths. And it's pretty cool to do that and ask the questions one on one, which is always awesome to do and hear the stories. Like people come to our booth every year and you get to catch up on how their year was, and it's fun. I actually like doing the shows. It's a good time. It's work, but it's also a good time.
What was the back like in your early stages of going to these shows? What was the size of the show like compared to now in terms of vendor numbers? I mean, even attendance as well.
I think we did some bigger shows back then too. Like, I remember we were at like the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel show, and that was a much bigger venue. But it wasn't just muskie; it was, all species. So there was probably more people there. But it's kind of like now, even like we went down to Schaumburg this year. It's not a muskie show, but there's, they get 20,000 people to come through that show.
That's
And
insane.
but it's not, I don't know what the percentage of them are musky. Maybe it's 10 or 15% of them that are musky guys. But there's a lot of, we make some bass lures and our smaller baits. Like we're making the Wizard, which was Tony Rizzo's Rizzo Wiz. We picked up from him and from Tony Jr. And we sell a lot of those to guys that are, they're kind of like, well, we want a musky fish, but well, you can throw that bait. You could catch bass. You could catch pike. You could catch a muskie. It's kind of so we sold a lot of those down there and that kind of stuff down there too. And it's really good for me for booking trips because I think there's people there that are wanting to learn and maybe they're a father and a son. Hey, let's get a guide and try this. So it's those shows are good for that. Same with the Madison show we went to. It's the same thing. Same. I mean, there is muskie clubs there, and there are definitely muskie guys there. But there's a lot of guys that are, looking to do both.
Yeah, it seems cool too with like the muskie shows. There's still bait builders that go down there that only sell their baits at shows. You can't get them, or really hard to get them online, or after show season or something like that. And then, too, I've seen going to shows like guides that have booths. It's good, for those guys to kind of meet people down at the shows and like customers. Like if you're gonna drop 500 to 700 bucks on a trip without ever meeting the guy, it's kind of tough to do where you go down and you get to speak to the guy at the booth and, figure out what lakes he fishes and where he's at and all that stuff. So I think the show should always have their place. I mean, I was at the Minnesota show a couple weeks ago and felt like the attendance was really solid and, people are still learning about new baits and I don't know, it seems like a cool deal.
That's I heard that was a new location, and it sounds like everybody that went to it said it was better than where it had been, or they seem to be happy with it. But maybe
Oh,
we might come out there again one year. We'll see. But
yeah, right next to a casino, so you got to be careful.
That's where everybody liked
That's where in Waters Meet, just for that one day show, and that's also a casino, but we didn't do too much gambling up there, but
That's
yeah,
not
not
too
too
much.
smart.
How
Well, they give you a little free play. They give you a free play,
Whoa.
but
Yeah,
I
they
pretty much
do.
lost all that.
Whoa.
We should we need to start a petition to have the Wisconsin Muskie Expo at the Ho-Chunk in Wittenberg next year. It's gonna be killer.
That
That show would do numbers.
Yeah.
Brian, you can just create the show. Just create
Yeah,
another.
start my own, just go, just myself.
I mean, you could do like a roulette themed muskie booth.
That would be cool,
Oh
yeah.
Win baits or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh
Little
yeah,
entry fee.
you could do that.
Brian,
That'd be
set that up.
and I got the wheels turning.
Spin the wheel. Spin the musky wheel.
He's the idea
Yeah, spin
guy.
the musky wheel.
Yeah.
But you got to make the penalties like a real casino. You know, it's like you spin the wheel and it's like you get a free this mini bait, this mini bait, and then like if it lands on this one, you owe me $200. You know, you got to pay the booth guys $200. So there's some real p punishment there. You know, you're not just getting a free pass.
And then it's fun for you working the booth. It's like, all
Yeah,
right.
because you're sweating.
It's the
And then
gamble for you too.
you kind of weight that triangle area a little bit heavier, so it just keeps hitting it more times than not.
The
Yeah, it's a little
house
weight
has got to win.
there. You can only
Ooh,
use the crappy
sorry.
lure for the rest of the whole year. Oh, that's good
That's
stuff.
good. So while you brought it up, the unfortunately I was not able to make the Waters Meet show. I know it was the third year that they did it. But how did that go? I was in Iowa for a totally different show, but it's bummed I couldn't make it.
So it was the first year I was there. We would have went last year, but I went down to Florida at the time. I was on spring break, doing some bass fishing and stuff down there. But so it was the first year I was there, and I thought it was really well attended for a small show. I wasn't expecting, to sell every bait that I made at that show, but we did well for what it is, and it's a good cause. It's, helping the lakes and the weeds, making everybody aware of the things. So it raises some funds for that, and it's ran well. They had some good speakers, and it's a good little one day show. We'll likely do it again, so it's fun. It's good.
Awesome. That's good to hear. I mean, if I was around, I'd 100% be doing it again. I did enjoy it last year, and a lot of us that did it last year were bummed we couldn't go again because it's a short little drive. It's a one day show, but that is good. For one last thing on the, or at least I don't know if anybody's got any more questions on shows, but do you just have Wisconsin Muskie Expo left?
Yep, that's
And
all that's left for us. Yep, we'll be down in
okay.
Wausau. It's what, 10 days away or whatever it is, something like that.
Yep, yeah, it starts on Friday, the March 20th. So
Yep, we'll
yeah,
be down there for that. That's always a good one.
I'm looking forward to that. Do you so another thing actually, so I saw you at the Wisconsin Fishing Expo in Madison the other weekend. You know, we chatted for a bit. You were selling some, I don't know if you want to clue some people in on what you're selling there that you said you might be bringing or you're bringing to all the shows and they've been selling well, but they're not on any website, you're not going to sell them after the shows. What were those things?
Was
They were pretty slick.
that the Big Mag Wizard I'm making?
Yeah, the big Mag Wizard,
Big
like the
tube
mega
bait,
tube.
yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
the big
it's
blade in
like a
front.
6.5 inch tube. I wonder if I got one here. I can show you guys at least it.
Yeah.
It's
Oh, yeah.
big 6.5 inch tube, and it's got a number 8 French blade on it.
Yeah,
So it
that's unique. That's sweet.
we've sold we're selling the the RZA Wizard so well that we thought I just th wanted to see how it would do, and I made a few of them. Have been throwing them for like 2 years, and one of my clients got a 48 on it up in Canada. He was using it and sent me the picture of it. Actually, I was up there, wasn't fishing with him when he caught it, but we're up at Rowan Lake. We've been going, and he got a 48 on it. So it's pretty awesome. I'm like, well, I think I'm gonna have to start selling these things because
Yeah.
it's proven bait, and I caught a few. I didn't catch any of that large on it, but I caught a few on it too. So I just made the first show. I made like 20 of them, and they're all gone by the end of it. So the last show I made like 40 of them, I think, and I didn't sell every one of them, but they did well, and that was in Milwaukee. So I'm gonna make another batch of them for the Wisconsin Muskie Show in Wausau there, and so there'll be some there, and maybe we'll eventually get them out to the stores. We'll see what happens, and it seems like it's a good way to test it, really, like just to see how it goes over with people and get input from them, and just bring it to the show, and so it went over well, and people that got them will be lucky to have them because it's a good bait.
How do you have that thing rigged up? Could you show us again and explain for the people that won't? I don't know if we'll do a video for this. So, the people that are listening, if you could explain kind of how you got it rigged up.
Okay, so this I have a 1 ounce lead weight in the front of it here, inside
Okay.
the tube. And this one is a little different. This was still a prototype. It was just laying in my boat here, and I had this one with a split ring in it, but I'm just running a straight shaft through them. Not like this one is. Yeah,
So for
I
the
just
people at home,
this one
it's
was
a
laying on a.
6.5 inch black tube with a straight wire all the way through.
It's
And
nothing
then
fancy, really, and yeah, just a number 8 French blade.
where's the
It's
hook on that? Just out the back.
got a big. It's a 4-aught in the back, sticking right out of the back of it.
Did you
It's nothing.
tinker around with different blades or double blades at all? Bigger blades?
Yeah, I did. When you go too big, like I put a Colorado on there. Problem is the whole bait spins then. Like the
Ah,
whole, it's a line twister. The whole bait all.
yeah.
Just,
Oh,
so I
yeah.
couldn't go
That's not
much
a.
bigger. No, so I couldn't go much bigger than an 8 French plate on there. You could definitely put a number 8 Colorado on it, but I wouldn't put a. I did put a 10 on there, and then I made another one. It's probably laying in here with a big, huge willow blade. But same thing, the whole bait just spun.
I like
So,
those French blades. Those things thump.
yeah, I mean they're awesome. They you can run them really fast, especially with that 1 ounce weight in there. You can crank them fast or. I also was like speeding them and then letting them drop and then speeding them up and letting them drop.
Right.
They were pretty, yeah. The blade like still flutters as it's going down.
Oh,
Oh,
wow. So
like
tails are
still
kicking.
spin. Yeah.
Would
Yeah,
you
it's
ever
pretty cool.
consider putting like deer hair on the front of the tube area, or does that not work well with the rubber?
No, you could. It's a good idea. I could try it. Yeah. You could definitely try
It's
that.
interesting for like a little bigger profile if you wanted to, because you could kind of mag that thing out realistically. I mean, it's already probably fairly big, 6.5 inch tube on a blade
Oh
like that.
yeah, you definitely could. I could try putting something on there. It'd be kind of cool, and then you might be able to put a bigger blade on it because it, might not spin on you too.
Yeah.
But it's something to play around with for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
And
anytime you put the sign new or limited in front of a bait, I feel like people at the show are just like vacuumed into it, like any new
right, and
bait. So
it's not like it's never was used. Like it has caught fish, so.
yeah,
That's,
looks
we
pretty
never sell
sweet.
baits that we don't hit, haven't caught fish on. So,
Yeah.
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 Cool.
Yeah,
I'm
I mean, I
excited to
know
see
you got,
it.
yeah, you guys got the, your wizard, the Smitty Wizard now, and like what the Rizzotail was, but and that's a
Yeah.
unique bait in its own. But going with a larger tube, I don't see. I mean, you can. I mean, I've seen Red Octobers use blades in front of them like a bucktail, but the smallest. Well, they now make some smaller ones, but for the longest time, the smallest they made was a 7.5 inch, and that was huge, giant. But there's never that
Better around,
in
right? Yeah.
between, yeah.
It's a little
So.
different. And it
For
casts a
sure.
mile. That's a cool thing. Like you for your clients to
Yeah.
throw it. I mean, it's like a bullet. It's throw it right into the wind, no problem, which is awesome.
That's
So
sweet. That's sweet.
yeah.
So, you're up in the Vilas Oneida County area. It sounds like you've been up there obviously for a bit fishing and guiding and everything. How did last season go for you? And what are you looking forward to this year? I think at one point I think I listened to a podcast that you're on in the past. Don't you guys run live bait sometimes, even in the beginning of the year? You guys are big live
Yeah.
bait guys, quite a bit. I was hoping you'd talk a little bit about that. I know I kind of just asked like
Yes.
four different questions, but
No, it's all good. Well, last year was actually down a little bit for me from the previous year. The year before I had 4 over 48 in the area here, and Last year I only had one, 49 and a half was the biggest. So it was definitely a lot tougher. Still had good number of fish, but not as many as large. And I mean, a lot of that kind of goes to, I'm not always, I'm sure for you too, Gus, you're not chasing trophies like you'd like to be every day. You're, you know,
Right.
getting guys on fish more is more important for a lot of our clients. So it still had a good number of fish, but it was definitely down some. I don't really know, you know, I can't explain why that was. It seemed like it was the perfect year for it. Although, you know, we did have that warm fall again, which did kind of throw it off a little bit. Still had a good fall. I mean, one was 49 and a half. I was telling you about at the show. That was on a sucker too, but that was the topper. And what was the rest of the question? I'm trying to think what you had there. Oh, you're wanting to talk about the sucker, early sucker fishing. And I do that in June mostly. And I usually just run one, and I run them small, like 10 to 12 inch suckers. I use the sucker rig with just one treble hook with that smaller sucker. If you try to put two hooks on that small sucker, he dies real quickly, it seems. Just stresses him out too much. So just one treble hook. And I usually run it on a float, just a little bit away from the boat. Rather than in the fall, I run two, one, you know, right under the boat, and then one back a little bit. But I like to run them on a float so you can run them high, raise them up. A lot of times, you know, you're fishing weeds. And it's amazing how many we get on them in spring. It's really fun, actually. It's a bonus for, you know, you get some of those days where you get so many follows. You might get in June, you know, you get 10 follows and you just can't get them to eat. Well, the sucker helps with that a lot. It definitely slows you down. You know, you can't fish as fast as you're pulling a sucker behind you, but it's worth it sometimes.
You don't hear about it in June too often. Are the suckers just like easily accessible for people, or are you netting them yourself, or how does that go?
The bait shop's like in town here in Minocqua. Like, he knows I need them, and all I have to do is call him, and then he will get them for me. And usually I'll get a dozen of them at a time. And I have a tank at my house here, so I can keep them. And but usually Kurt's Island Sport Shop in Minocqua will keep them. The Muskie Shop sometimes will have the smaller suckers there in spring too. And I've used pike chubs when you can't find them, but then I just run a like a circle hook. I mean, we're talking about, like, you know, 6 inch minnows then. That a lot of, then you end up with pike a lot of times too. But
Right.
yeah.
If they're, you know, I'll be curious what your thoughts are on this, because everybody typically equates like early season and June with smaller baits. You know, of course, there's some exceptions on that, but if you're getting fish to, even though you're talking smaller suckers, 10 to 12 inch, that's still, you think about throwing like a 10 or 12 inch jerk bait, that's like, oh man, that's like late fall. Do you pair the suckers up with some big stuff sometimes in June? This early season suckers, or you're throwing
Yeah,
small
some
stuff?
small, like in the spring, I always have somebody throwing that wizard bait or the wizard spell that we make. That's a single number seven. That's like a go-to for the guy in the front of the boat. And then the guy in the second person will usually be throwing a jerk bait. A lot of times they're a 6 inch jerk bait, but I have done really well with the 9 inch jerk bait in spring. And it's not that big. I mean, our jerk baits are, they're not, you know, super huge around, but 10 inches or 9 inches long. But there's been so many days, it happens every year when in May, like we're walleye fishing and you get a 14 or 16 inch walleye on, and muskie comes out of nowhere and T-bones the thing. So, you know, they do eat big fish. It's just, if it's there and they're hungry, that, you know, they'll take it. It's just getting it in front of them, I guess. But it's hard, you know, it's the mentality of throwing smaller stuff in spring. And it just depends on the day too. Like if it's a big cold front, I guess you're not going to be throwing, you know, the bigger baits too, like
Right.
downsizing for that.
Yeah.
Have you
I'll go ahead, Brian.
I was just gonna see if you have like a water temp cutoff on the live bait in June, or like when do you kind of call it quits there?
I guess once it gets to be above like 65 degrees, it's pretty much over.
Yeah.
It's good to
And
know.
that the same in the fall. Like I start using suckers in September right away. If it's 65 degrees or less, I'm using suckers already. I start pretty early in September with them.
Is that something that's just been kind of ingrained in you since you were a kid with the live bait stuff, or is that something you kind of have pioneered, not maybe not pioneered, but just you kind of like to do it and you kind of do it every chance you get?
And I guess if I was fishing by myself, I probably wouldn't be using them as much,
Yeah.
and especially in the spring. I love using them in the fall. But yeah, it's definitely something I learned from my dad. Yeah, using the live bait and in the spring like that, and he even has used them. If you sometimes you might have a client that is struggling, and he's used them in July and August and caught muskies on suckers year round. It's just keeping them alive is the tough part that time of year. So
Yeah, I mean, right.
they can be used year round. It's just you're slowing yourself down by using them. You're not going to be able to move as fast and cover as much area because you're working at half mile an hour or 0.6 or 0.8 at the most, pulling a sucker. Otherwise you're just it's not working right. He's staying up too high. So it's handicapped in you using a sucker at some point.
Well, I feel like with the muskie season being moved a month earlier this year, are you kind of licking your chops? Like the sucker's got to be a big part of that game plan in the colder water.
Yeah, it might be. I probably won't be taking a huge part of it just because I'm already pretty booked up with walleye guys in May. But yeah, if I do get a chance to get out, yeah, I don't know. It depends how the spring goes. If we have a nice warm spring and the lakes are gonna be warmed up and go to shallower lakes that warm up a little quicker, I might sneak out there. But otherwise, I may stick to the Memorial Day weekend. That's kind of when my musky stuff really starts with all my clients then.
That was actually going to be my question because, I think that's kind of it seems to be at least right now where our head's at. But, we don't need to talk about, the pros and cons of the season changing. But I was actually curious more along the lines of like, have you had clients reach out to you when the regs change and said like, hey, let's go musky fishing in May? Or are you kind of just already booked up with walleye to the point where you're like, your clients know that you're not going to start until Memorial Day anyways?
Oh, no, I did have one guy text me like immediately, and he's like, "Are you open the first Saturday of May for muskie?" And I said,
Right when the
"Well,
rules change dropped.
pretty much, yeah." And I said, "Well, no, I'm booked. That's opening weekend for walleye. It's a pretty popular weekend, so I was already filled in on that one." But and I don't think I would have. I mean, it's too hard to book one a day and not know what the spring's going to be like. It's too iffy, like. It might not be very good fishing either
Yeah.
for him if they are in the spawning mode, and where are you going to go or try to find them where they're not spawning, and that's I don't know if I would at this it's March or February and book a job for that right now.
Yeah.
Right. It's almost like with the season open earlier, if you do like partake in it, it's almost like the reverse turnover period where there's a huge factor that you're trying to avoid. Where now in the spring it's like spawn. You don't wanna be targeting a lake that's dead nuts in the spawn just as much as you usually don't want to target a lake that's dead nuts in turnover. And cold water anyways, like the later in the fall you go, the shorter the bite window, sometimes the tougher the days. I mean, it's cold in the spring. It's for the most part in all the spring fishing that we've done, out of state and whatever, it's not always a cakewalk just 'cause it's, open and cold water. Those fish are stubborn as hell, and but then out
Right.
of nowhere you can get a stupid bite window just like in the fall where all of a sudden you get a pile of fish or whatever.
I'm sure they're gonna eat. I mean, you're gonna find a hungry one, I'm sure, but that's
Yeah.
you have to search to find the the Dark Water Lakes, you know, and start there, and in shallow lakes, you know, warm up pretty fast here. Some of them do, so it'll be interesting to see how the spring goes, and hopefully we do have a nice warm spring. I am hoping for that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
For all
Yeah,
fishing, so
honestly.
everything.
Right?
Yeah,
Oh, I
I'm
know.
hoping for a good one, 'cause last year was it was pretty solid, but man, that the I don't know about you, Jake, last year if you were mainly just doing walleyes, but I did a good amount of smallmouth fishing and smallmouth trips, and it was actually there were some days the smallmouth fishing got so tough, like they were such zombie mode. Like we would cast through a whole spot and I'd be frustrated we didn't get a bite. I'd go up there and look, and there's like, 50 to 100 smallmouth. We just cast it over and not a single one ate. We actually
Swimming.
had to go to walleye fishing, and then we started catching a whole bunch of fish. Walleyes were easier than smallmouth. It was
So
incredible. I
that
don't know
was
if you saw
before they
that.
were on their beds.
Yes, this was like they were not on their beds yet because they're still cruising.
Okay.
It was like mid-May last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Sometimes they're that water's cold yet, they're not really ready to go, it seems, but
Bass are finickier than we think in cold water. Like they just
I
shut off in the
They're
winter
so
and
weird.
yeah, I
Yeah,
guess so.
I took these guys last year winter smallmouth fishing, and it was
Okay.
like a gale force 40 mile an hour wind day, but it was warm. And when we got out there, Max caught a huge one, like a 21-incher, and we got a
Oh,
couple
wow.
more.
That's awesome.
Like it was really good. We were on it like a rock bar, and then just out of nowhere, it just like a snap of a finger,
Got
not a
cold.
single. It got cold. There wasn't a single, jawjacker that went off. Nobody was getting any bumps jigging. The Vexlar are live. Not a single fish. Not many would ever come up, and if they did, they would just leave. And yeah, smallmouth can be bastards.
They can be. You don't really think it, but I guess they can be sometimes.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
God, I thought about some. Oh, yeah, I guess with the. Like, your thoughts again on this new opener date. Like, it's a new chapter in every muskie angler's book. Like, nobody's really been fishing in May, especially in Wisconsin. So there's
Northern
a lot to
Wisconsin.
learn, huh?
Northern Wisconsin. Yeah.
Yeah, because it used to be, yeah,
It wasn't at midwest,
split.
was it? Yeah, I guess it was.
It was
Well,
early
Northern
May for the
Wisconsin.
southern half, yeah.
But I'm curious to get your thoughts. I mean, it's going to take some years to see, like, A, how the fishing actually is, in first week of May in northern Wisconsin. So there's a lot to learn on, if it's bad for the fish or if it's good fishing. As just as much to learn for anglers into how to target these fish in early May. What would you, if you did book that guy for May 4th, what would be your plan of attack?
I'd probably be throwing pretty small baits. The Rizzo Wiz, the Wizard, for sure. You know, small stuff, but I'd probably also be trying to throw some slower stuff, jerk baits, stop and go in that colder water. Or a little 6-inch jerk bait where you can work it a little slow that would be good in the cold water, I'm sure. And we've had openers where it's been cold and that kind of stuff has worked. Definitely the jerk baits in that first week should be good. And I have snuck up into the Michigan has been open. You know, that opens used to open May 15th, but now they're also I think it's almost a year round open up in the UP here. So I have done some fishing up there early in the season and on the warm years, after we knew they're done spawning, and there's some pretty cool little lakes up there, and the little jerk bait has done really well up there. So I have done a little bit of fishing. Not that I'm promoting chasing them while they're spawning, but if they're done, hey, have at it, and I'm all right with that. But yeah, so I know the little jerk bait will work, and the wizard will definitely get them.
I picked up the short tail tracer tail, the joiner jerkbait. That was at last year's Wisconsin show. And when
Oh,
was
okay.
that?
Shallow crankbait one.
Yeah, it's kind of
Tracer
like
like
with the soft tail.
a yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I picked that up last expo, and then that was an opener. Was it
Oh
maybe like
no.
July?
August Bender weekend.
August Bender weekend, I got one on it, so that's pretty cool.
Awesome.
It's
Yeah.
super like fidgety bait,
Yeah.
insane rattle through the joint, which these guys know I'm a sucker for jointed baits. I think I get one every show season for like opener, and then this one caught in August, so it's pretty cool.
It's a good little bait. Like the jointed baits seem like they look like they're moving fast, but they're not,
Yeah,
right?
exactly.
So it seems like you can work it a little bit slower during non-peak times, and it gets their attention because it's got all this movement, but it's still like they still want to eat it because it's not getting away from them like something that's moving a lot quicker. So it seems to trigger them there, and definitely during non-peak times, that's a good little bait. And short tail tracer, I like to jerk it a lot too, or
That's
just
kind of what I was doing with
crank it
it.
away. And
Yeah.
is that what you kind of speed it up and then just let it's buoyant so it floats back up, and speed them up and just vary the speed on them seems to work well with those little baits.
Yeah. Just kind of doing like a pull pause with it. And I mean, you can feel it all the way up the rod. Like that thing is shaking hard. And then, yeah, like you said, you can stop it on a dime and it's got great action. So definitely will be thrown on opener again this year because jerkbaits have typically been our ticket.
Awesome. I've done really well with those during when the any jointed bait when the water gets green in the fall, like September,
I
because
bet.
it makes so much more vibration than think about like a jerk bait. It doesn't make a lot of noise in the water,
Right.
like jerked. Where that when the water gets green and it's bad visibility, the and things make a lot of vibration so they can hear it. It's a
Yeah.
good for them
It's a
too. So
good thought.
don't put it away too early.
Yeah, I won't be. Jake,
Yeah.
what's your if you had to pick one, what's your favorite bait in the Smitty bait lineup?
Definitely the 9-inch jerk bait. I've caught more on that thing than anything. That's my go-to. But last year we came out with a 10-inch, so we have a little bit bigger one. I can show you one here. Not that everybody can see this, but you guys will be able to see. So the top is the regular let's see here, 9-inch, and the bottom is the 10-inch.
So for
Nice.
those that
But
are listening, explain what those baits look like and kind of what they do.
those cylinder shaped bait, it's got an open mouth like on the front, like somebody described it as Pac-Man, I guess. Kind of a mouth on the front, I don't know. And they're weighted. They still float, but they do have weight in them. A lot, pretty erratic. They have a lot of side to side motion to them. The new 10-inch is pretty cool. I have the weight kit in them now too, so you can adjust the weights
Spec.
with the
Nice.
yeah. So this bait floats, but you can make it suspend or sink also. So that's pretty cool. It's a can get you can cast these out, count them down. Like I did that quite a bit in the summer period where you throw them out, count them down 10. They usually drop about a foot a second with that heavy weight on there, and then start jerking them in. And it's more of a kind of Humpty Dumpty kind of motion, up and down. It's not as much side to side once you put that big weight in them, but it's something you could get down a little bit deeper. So that did well for us last year. And then that's kind of a hard question because I've caught so many fish on the flap tail that we make too. It's
I'm glad you brought that up.
yeah, I've caught a lot on our little flap tail. Oh,
Was
guess you should
the
tell them the story of that one. So
there's
this,
probably a couple stories on that one, honestly.
So the flap tail, my dad started making these probably close to 30 years ago, and Roger Sabota, I'm sure you heard of him. He recently passed away, but he was a guide from Rhode Island. He did a lot of writing for Muskie Hunter magazine, and he was did a lot with that. And he was using a bait that was made in Rhode Island called a snodlow. You've probably heard of it. It's a real old topwater bait. And he asked my dad to make some baits like it. And so he made like 25 of them, took them down to the Milwaukee Muskie Show. And Roger marched all of his good clients over to our booth. And we sold every one that we had there. And that's how we started making this flap tail. It comes in two sizes. This is the 5-inch. And we make like a 6.5 inch too, but it's super subtle bait. It's got a, brass tail on it, just kind of clicks on the washer that's on the back of the bait, wire leader on the front. It just kind of, you can tune them, the wire leader, you can bend if it's tracking to one side, you can bend it one way or the other. And old design, but we've caught so many big fish on it. Super subtle bait. It's crazy how many big fish we've caught on this thing
You
though.
got any good big fish stories on that bait to tell us about? I'm sure there's quite a few.
Yeah, I caught, I caught a big, I got a 48 on it last year on a lake in the area here. And pretty wild. It was what was that? Last day of August last year, the 30th. And fish just came out of nowhere. I never saw it coming and just engulfed the little bait, and it was exploded on it, and the thing fought super hard. I just had one guy with me, and I was casting with him, and he did a perfect net job for me, which I've, I don't always, you don't want your client to be netting fish, but he was just as excited about it as I was, so it was pretty awesome. He got to see one like that. But then I got a 48 on it up in Canada the year before, so same thing. That one, it's been so good for me. It's been a really good bait, and not just big ones, but a lot of them too, 40 inchers, but they do seem to be bigger sized on that bait. It's just so slow moving, and it seems to trigger them.
Absolutely, yeah. That, so I said I'm glad you brought up the flap tail, because if I'm not mistaken, Max, I think that's the first Smitty bait we got, right?
Oh,
Was that
nice.
flap tail? I think it was the 6.5. I don't think it was the
Okay.
tiny one, but is that exact one you're talking about? The streamline with the wire out the front and just the two hooks, in line on the bottom of the
Yep.
body,
Yeah,
and
no dragon hooks.
right, yep. And yeah, we caught a couple fish on it, a couple. I know Max got a psycho one in the figure eight on it when we were over in Hayward, and then
Awesome.
around here on the chain we fish here, Eagle River, in the old boat now, two boats ago, that one extra psycho fish that didn't it shoot like 5 feet in the air and just punted that thing like
I
back at the
think the bait
boat?
went 15 feet.
No way.
Oh, you didn't hook him then.
No, never got
No.
hooks. Never got hooks. I didn't even set the hook. Like, I was just in awe of the
Yeah.
muskie. It went so high in the water. Like, it just tried to, I don't know what it was trying to do, but it wasn't trying to eat it. I think it was just having some fun.
That is the hard thing. Not that you pulled it away from him, but I mean, that is the hard thing with the top, with those top waters, is you gotta like wait till you feel them, and so many people
Right.
do pull the bait away from them, but that is tough sometimes. But I've seen him punch them like that too, and what happened? I don't know. Fish hit it with his beak, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Blind
Yeah, I don't know
fish
what
missing
they.
an eye.
I don't, it's almost like there's some fish that are so fired up that it's like they're almost like a shark, like they're trying to kill their prey first
They
before
play with
they
it, yeah.
Play with it and mess with it and make sure, knock it out a little bit or something like that.
That's
But
what the killer whales do with penguins. They just like, or seals. They do it with seals. They just punt them up
seals,
in the
yeah.
air and then chase them
Oh,
again.
that's what this thing was trying to do.
It's a
Yeah,
really good
seriously.
bait too for I use it a lot, like if you saw one earlier in the day and it didn't hit. And then you go back and throw this thing because it's definitely not a search bait. You have to work it so slow. So, but it's something to keep that in your toolbox for is, oh, you saw one and it didn't eat. Well, take this thing and just click it through. They're super slow, and if you know he's in the area, it's going to get his attention, and it seems to work a lot for me with that.
So I have a question on the 10-inch jerkbait was the one you mentioned prior.
Oh yeah, yep.
So is that, do you make that in the 2026 like show color, collector color?
No, I haven't, but I can paint you one if you need one.
Well, so what the show color is it, collector color, is that what you call it? Is
Okay,
that,
so that's a custom bait that's like 15 inches long.
oh, it's 15, okay.
Yeah, and so there's only 100 of those made a year. And most of them are the jointed ones with like the pikey lip in the front, but we do make probably 15 of them are the jerkbait version of them.
And they're both
And
15 inches.
Yeah, they're both 15 inches and they are made to be fished with, but most of them end up being, cabin decor, it seems, or man cave type stuff. Although we have caught fish on them and more of a trolling bait, really, that I have casted the 15 inch bait, but it's more, kind of a trolling bait, if anything.
Can that I'm liking the thought of a giant jerk bait or a giant jointed
Jointed
bait,
bait.
but
Oh, yeah.
can that lip be tweaked at all to maybe go like a little shallower?
Oh yeah. Yeah, you can bend the lip. It's metal, so
Yeah.
if you bend it down, it'll plow more, it'll go shallower.
Yeah,
Something to play around with.
definitely. I don't know about springtime, but October
Yeah.
for sure.
I swear to
Definitely
God,
caught
Brian,
some.
if you throw a freaking topwater on opener this year again, I'm gonna
What
throw you in, dude.
about a 15-inch jointer?
Yeah.
Oh, just reel it in nice and slow. I'll put you in the back, buddy.
Yeah.
If you work it really slow, it might stay around the top. It'd be
Yeah.
pretty
Yeah.
something to try, I guess.
Yeah, it's cool. No,
Yeah.
that's what's I kind of want to ask another question on the baits, and I'm very curious. What's an old style bait, maybe that only your dad made, that you've thought of bringing back, or maybe an old style bait that worked for many years that people forgot about, or something like that. Like, and
So
then I actually have another question after that too.
we actually are bringing one back, and it's not in my boat, it's in my truck actually. I can't show you it, but it's maybe you haven't seen it, but it was called a Python, and you probably have. It wasn't super popular, but it's a minnow style bait, straight, not jointed, just a straight bait. It's got a pikey metal, pikey metal lip in the front of it, pikey style, and it's got a little rattle in it, so it's got a little noise. And he had it weighted kind of a little bit heavy, but still where it would float. But I'm gonna, I made it now, and I fished with it last year and made it more buoyant so he could be worked shallower, but then added this weight kit into it with the threaded weights so that now you could still get it to the same depth that he originally made it with, but now I could also make it suspend or sink if I wanted it to. So that's something that we're working on right now, and we were planning on having those at the Wausau Expo, Wisconsin Fishing Expo there in Wausau, but we just got kind of backed up with some other big orders that we're working on, so I'm not real sure if that's actually going to happen. We're running out of time now, but it will be coming out hopefully this year. We'll have some more time later on this year to make them still, but that's something we're pretty excited about. And it's a 7-inch. He made it in three or four different sizes, but the 7-inch is what we're bringing back out. So
Is it more of a diving rise or?
no, it's more of a crankbait.
Okay.
It's it's a crankbait, and pretty, pretty good wobble on it, pretty wider wobble on it, and with that weight kit, you'll be able to work it at any depth, really, which is kind of cool.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So is it, I guess I don't know if I've seen it. You said it's a straight model, but it's got the pikey lip, just like the jointed crankbait that Brian used, that tracer tail one.
Yeah, it's
Is
got
it
the same lip in it. Yep.
rounded like that and seven
No,
inch
it's
straight?
flat sided.
It's a flat sided. Oh,
Flat
cool. Okay.
sided, yeah. Flat sided bait this time. So
Cool.
something we've had out, but we're gonna bring back and change it a little bit, make it, a little bit better, and we'll see how it goes. It should go over pretty well, we're thinking. So that's new, and that'll be coming out. We'll see exactly when, but hopefully midsummer it'll be done by then at least.
Stay tuned. That'll be
Awesome.
cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
My other question was, what was the first bait that your dad Russ made to make Smitty baits?
So the 9-inch jerkbait is the original. The
Okay.
one I was
OG. That's
just
the
showing you.
OG.
That
Yeah.
is the original. And this is actually one of the very original colors, was the black sucker.
It's a great
And
color,
oh
black, white,
yeah.
and
So
orange.
I brought it back, and You could see like, yeah, he that's how he even painted the eyes, the
Oh,
silver. And
nice.
I brought it back. This was like 3 or 4 years ago. I brought this back and just made them for the shows. I made 20 of them or something only, and kind of limited them. But he had like only three colors back then, and one was or maybe four. One was he called Dynamite Stick. It was just like a chartreuse bait, and then he had a
Brian.
like a kind of a gold perch color, and then he had one he called Jawbreaker. It was like lime kind of green looking, and these were all flat finish, no clear coat on them, and
Yeah.
that green, like with no clear coat on it, it like glows in the water like nothing you've seen, but
Bet.
it's not very durable, like they get scratched up easy.
Yeah.
But he said the Jawbreaker was the best fish catching bait, but the worst selling. He said nobody would buy it because it was just kind of an ugly, and back then like the bright colors weren't such a thing either. On the musky baits. So, but those were like the four first colors that he made with the 9-inch shark bait. And back then there wasn't not that many options of colors. Like you look in a box and what, they're all either black or perch colored, and that's about it.
Yeah, that's interesting. So
Not
that original
enough.
paint was
Not enough
just like,
Bryans back in the day buying them.
yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't 20. I mean, like now I think on Team Rhino's website we've got 30 colors of jerk baits or something crazy like that. So
Not
there's so many
enough.
options. Yeah, not enough. Yeah.
Not enough. More.
Yeah, need more.
It
But
is
that.
crazy how particular people get about their
Oh,
colors. Oh,
yeah.
yeah.
That's fun though,
Yeah.
too. I like it too.
Oh, for
You got to
sure.
be excited
Love
about
it.
what bait you're throwing, So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how many
Yeah.
times do you think in your life have you thrown a bait and just gone, oh, hell, that looks so good in the water?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'd eat that if I was a
It's like,
muskie.
yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
exactly. Yeah.
It just
You got to
fits
feel
your
the
eye,
bait.
you know?
Yeah. You got to like the bait you're throwing.
Yeah, for
So,
sure. Yeah, it's important. We'll talk about it
yeah.
all the time. It's like if you don't got confidence in it, you might as well just put it right down the boat floor or back in the box. It's
Oh,
not good.
yeah. I've done that. I've put a bait on. I'm not a bait changer, but I've done that. Like, put a bait on, thrown it like three casts. God, it just doesn't feel right. Put something
Yeah,
else on.
gotta go
You
with your
change it.
gut.
Yeah, but I usually stick with baits pretty long, but sometimes you just feel like that, and then you should change.
Yeah,
I
I get
agree.
sorry,
I
sorry
get
to
that with
cut you
about
off,
every bait.
Brian.
Yeah, Brad, what were you gonna say? Sorry to cut you off like six times there.
sorry. Oh, with your original paint jobs, Anyways, Jake, so what I was thinking.
that it was. Shut up. Brian's never coming back on
Anyways.
again.
Yeah, it's my last pod. The original paint was just like straight matte color on there, like no coating over it.
Yeah,
And
no clear
so,
coat.
but that green, like, was it the matte finish that kind of illuminated that in the water?
Yeah, and I've painted some like that now, and still, like, they just glow without the clear on them. It's strange.
But like the hook rash is just immediate.
Yeah, it is now because, like, our paint isn't as good as it was back in the 1970s when it was made with lead base, and like
Bring
it was like stuff that
it
wouldn't be able to be sold anymore, so they
good to
actually
smell.
lasted back then. So now we have to put clear coat on them to make them, a lot tougher than. And I just don't think people would buy it if it's not shiny either. It's got to look like, pretty and everything.
Well, if you told me it was shiny in the water, I would. I just
Well,
need
it
a
would be.
video proof at the
Yeah. We'll have to work
expo.
on one for you.
Yeah. I'll bring it back every few months to get repainted.
I can do that.
We all chewed
Yeah.
up.
So,
No,
Jake, are
that's
you
good.
guys working on? I mean, is building baits a year-round endeavor, or is it like a mad dash during the winter and then more time on the water in the summer? How does that all work for you?
It's a mad dash in the winter just to get done as much as we can and just build the inventory up, kind of speculate what we're going to need. We usually have a pretty good idea on how many baits we're going to need, and get everything stocked up so we're not planning on making baits in the summertime, although I have been scheduling a little bit of time in July, to make some baits. Usually that seems like we've been running low on. Other than that, I'm guiding every day in the summer. If I'm not, I get canceled a day or something, it's right to the shop, and usually packing an order or filling an order for a bait shop. It's been keeping us, it keeps us busy, so there's never a dull moment, and we're always doing something, it seems.
Cool.
That's awesome.
In the fall, building sucker rigs, that's a big thing. I start building rigs in August. In the evenings at home, I have I call it homework. So I'm doing work in the garage here and building sucker rigs to supply, the whole fall worth of rigs that we make for everybody. So that's another thing, and that's been good for us too.
Seems like, yeah, it seems like a lot. Constant
Oh yeah.
flow of them all and keeps you busy. That sounds like that's for sure.
Oh yeah, always
And
going. That's
shows.
for sure. Never ends.
And
That's a good. It's
shows,
good to be
man.
busy though.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
Yeah,
better than
true.
the opposite.
We
Very
did a few
true.
more shows than we originally planned this year. Like we did five shows this year, so that makes it tough. Like I get home from a show and it's all right. It's Monday morning. Wash the trailer down quick because I always want to take care of that. And then next thing, get to the shop and start working on. Right now I'm painting 400 baits. I was there this morning super early, just trying to get these baits painted before the next show. And it's a lot of work, but I still enjoy it, and it has a lot of rewards. So I'm
How
able to
long?
do. Go
Go
ahead.
ahead. Okay, I was
Well,
just gonna ask.
I'm able to do what I love to do. So it's a good business for me.
Yeah, that helps for sure. How long does it take for one bait start to finish typically?
So, like this rack of baits, we do them in batches, usually of 400 baits at a time. And that's what my rack holds for painting. So, that will take me usually about a week to make the baits and about 4 or 5 days to paint them. And then another day, usually, to clear coat them, depending on the clear coat. Like the flap tail gets two coats of epoxy finish, so that takes a little longer with those. But
So like a
so yeah,
good 2 weeks for 400.
about 2 weeks usually.
It's a lot of baits.
Yeah, it's a
Two
lot of
weeks.
baits. Yeah, we're
Damn.
pumping them out, so we got it pretty figured out. We can make them pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
Cool.
good.
Oh,
Yeah.
that is awesome. Yeah. Well, we appreciate your time, Jake, coming on here and
Oh yeah.
chopping it up. I know you're it's right in the middle of well, at the end now of
Yeah.
expo season, so it's
Yeah.
busy, busy. So we really, really do appreciate your time and look forward to seeing you at Wausau.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. It's great being on with you guys, and I enjoy listening to you too. So it's always good being on with you, and hope we can do it again someday if you'd like, and I'll see you at the expo. We'll have a beer down there.
Yeah, can't wait. It's always
Absolutely.
a
All
fun
right.
weekend.
All right, sounds good.
Cheers, man. Great to
All
meet
right,
you.
thank you. Thanks, guys.